Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In between enjoying a Thanksgiving meal today and spending time with family, many Americans are watching football. And this season, the Washington Post has been reporting a series called Blackout on why the NFL has failed to equitably promote black coaches to top jobs. One flashpoint in this story has been the racial discrimination lawsuit brought against the league this year by former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, who is black and Latino. He was fired, he says, because of his race. The team denies that. Back in February, Flores told NPR's Jay Williams that he went back and forth over whether to take legal action.
I knew that it was a sacrifice that I was making, but I also felt like it was necessary. And this isn't about me. This is about, you know, something that's much bigger than me, which is a system in the NFL that, in my opinion, is broken as far as hiring practices for black and minority coaches and minorities in general.
Adam Kilgore, national sports reporter for The Washington Post, is part of the team with Nicole Dunker looking into why black coaches are not getting top jobs in the NFL. He's writing this week about the New York Giants, which passed on hiring Brian Flores as coach and are one of several NFL teams that have never had a black head coach. Adam, welcome to Here and Now and happy Thanksgiving.
You as well, Deepa. It's wonderful to be with you.
So remind us first, what happened with Brian Flores? He was head coach of the Miami Dolphins from 2019 to 2021. Now he's a defensive assistant for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What led to his lawsuit against the NFL?
Yeah, so after the end of last season, Brian Flores was fired by the Miami Dolphins, which caught a lot of people by surprise within the NFL because of the success he had in Miami. After getting fired, he interviewed with the New York Giants for their open head coaching position. I did not get the job, and days after the job went to Brian Daboll, who was white and offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. And Brian Flores, based on sort of an erroneous text message that he allegedly received from his old boss, Bill Belichick, alleged in a lawsuit that he had been part of a sham interview with the New York Giants. He came to believe that the Giants had decided they were hiring Brian Daboll before they even interviewed him. You know, the Giants dismissed that as false and disturbing, but the lawsuit, you know, sort of laid bare a lot of issues that Flores had and a lot of black coaches have with the NFL's process.
And we'll get into some of those. But when Flores spoke with our NPR colleague Jay Williams, he also talked about how during his days with the Dolphins that he was cast as an angry black man. Let's listen.
I most certainly have a strong personality. I think you have to have that as a coach in the National Football League. I'm demanding, and I challenge, and I address problems, and I challenge players and coaches and support staff to improve and get better. But white coaches do the exact same thing, and you never really hear the angry white man. You don't hear that term very often.
So more there from Brian Flores on how he felt about his treatment in the NFL when he was with the Dolphins. So where do things stand now with his lawsuit?
Well, it's sort of working its way through the courts. There haven't been a lot of public comment from either side. And so, you know, certainly something that a lot of people are interested to see how it's going to play out. But I think the biggest thing that's happened, you know, because of that lawsuit is more attention has been paid to this issue, which has been a long, long-standing issue in the NFL.
And your reporting really dives into the New York Giants' hiring practices. And those you spoke with say the organization is not overtly racist, but it does little to mitigate unconscious bias that disadvantages black coaches. Can you tell us more about the conversations you had and what you learned about the systemic shortfalls when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you summed it up well there. I think what we found was really at the core of why the Giants have never hired a black head coach is a lack of intentionality. You know, it's not the presence of malice. It's the absence of doing the work to eliminate unconscious bias. You know, we heard from a lot of people who've worked for the Giants, who have worked with them, that all the way up to ownership, you know, it's a franchise whose leaders have a pretty insular background. And, you know, at the end of the day, and this is true across the NFL, a lot of these wealthy, you know, billionaire white owners are going to sort of gravitate toward people they feel familiar with.
Can you give us an example of how the process typically works for hiring a coach?
Sure. So the Giants have been through the process a lot. They've hired four coaches in the past seven seasons. And so there's been a lot of losing in New York, and they've sort of cycled through coaches. The process has changed a little bit from cycle to cycle. But for the most part, the way it goes is the team collects, you know, a sort of a list of candidates they want to interview and consider. The candidates come and interview. You know, for two cycles, the Giants didn't involve any of their black employees, aside from the first cycle when they still had a black general manager in Jerry Reese. But mostly it was John Mara, the white owner, and sort of handpicked advisors driving those interviews. So you can see there how if, you know, the person in charge of the whole franchise, you know, is putting such a personal touch on who ends up getting this job, it's almost inevitable that there's going to be some bias there. And you know, I think the Giants have made small progress, but it's really not enough in sort of closing some of those loopholes and you know, erecting those guardrails.
Yeah, I found it pretty telling in your article. It really talks about how people, even as much state, we hire people because we just felt really comfortable with him. And that, you know, of course, falls back on their own networks, which are, you know, white men. But I'm wondering what more equitable hiring practices would look like.
Sure. So I think one thing I found telling, Nicole and I both had found telling, you know, talking to some, you know, experts in DEI, is, you know, the Rooney Rule in the NFL addresses the panel of interview candidates for a job. What it doesn't address is the panel of people on the other side doing the interviewing and doing the considering of the hires. And I think that's where the NFL could step in and, you know, give teams better guidelines, more stringent guidelines for, you know, how to involve people of color, both inside and perhaps outside the organizations, which some corporations have done, to, you know, be involved in the vetting of candidates and the interviewing of candidates and the evaluation of candidates.
Yeah. So as you've been looking into the Giants' hiring practices, what are you hearing from the team leadership?
Not much, you know, because the Giants are involved in that lawsuit from Brian Flores. John Mara did not agree to an interview with us. We did get a statement from Pat Hanlon, who is sort of the lead PR person for the Giants. Pretty boilerplate. You know, they defended their record and they defended their intention, you know, and pointed out that John Mara is on the NFL's diversity committee, which actually a lot of folks outside the organization pointed to as, you know, why it's kind of disappointing that the Giants have not taken the step of hiring a black head coach.
Mm. Well, you write that a lot of the team owners operate like they're running mom and pop shops rather than billion-dollar enterprises. Was that what you found with John Mara, the co-owner of the Giants?
Yes, I think that's the thing that's fair to say. You know, I mean, he's a third-generation owner. His grandfather started the team with a $500 waiver fee. And so it's interesting, you know, how these NFL franchises have evolved. I mean, they're some of the most powerful cultural institutions we have in the United States. And yet, you know, they're run with a pretty small number of people, you know, even smaller number of people making those decisions. I think it's because of how they've just been passed down from generation to generation. And as the NFL has just exploded in revenue and popularity, you know, there haven't been as drastic changes in the way they are operated and who's operating them.
And one of the things that you mentioned earlier, John Mara sitting ahead of the NFL's diversity body or team, you know, after the killing of George Floyd in 2020, we saw the phrase Black Lives Matter on helmets and in the end zone of NFL fields, the words end racism. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell even shared this video on the league's social media.
We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe black lives matter.
I mean, in terms of everything you're reporting, those words now seem kind of largely performative. What do you think it would take for the NFL to actually reduce racism in its own hiring practices?
You know, there's a saying that goes around, you know, for people who have negotiated with the NFL and black coaches in the NFL, that goes something like, there's only two ways to change minds of ownership and people who run the NFL. One is shame and the other is a lawsuit. So maybe the Brian Flores lawsuit is going to be a touch point that changes a lot of things. Maybe if it's not through legal means, it's just the public pressure that's put on owners to change their practices. It is something that the NFL league office cares about a lot. The issue there is the NFL league office has really no say in hiring. Those are the 32 franchises that make those decisions. And so how that disconnect is bridged, that's a great question. And I think there's a lot of people within the NFL who wish they had an answer for that.
Well, we are going to await more of your reporting in this Blackout series. Adam Kilgore is a national sports reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks so much, Adam.
Thank you so much.